And we're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go F1 podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, your pre-Drive to Survive Formula One fan, and today I'm in Margaret River.
And I'm Monique Chicardo, your post-Drive to Survive fan, and today I'm sitting in Stavanger in southwest Norway, both at home.
Hi, Mon. We've just had the long summer break, 3 weeks off racing. Gosh.
It was tough. Very, very tough.
There's only so many non-race weekends I want to deal with. So we're back on, and what a ripper.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much to talk about.
There is so much to talk about. Okay. Start with the start. First three words.
Yes.
Your 3 words to describe the Dutch Grand Prix.
Okay. Flags, failures, firsts.
Wow. Yeah, nice. Like it. Like it.
Which I can explain later, but I need your 3 words first.
Well, look, I text you what my words were, and that two of them were expletives, which we won't repeat on here. But I'm just going to say, let's go, Oscar. So they're my 3 words.
Good three words.
Okay, so explain your three, the three S.
All right, so flags. It was pretty much what decided the race, I think, is all of the yellow flags, safety cars. It wasn't so much a strategy race as it was a safety car race. Failures. We had a very, very, not important, but a very, very game-changing DNF because of a failure. So we will get into that. And first, I guess this leads into your 3 words, but first, we had a first podium for someone in the field, and the winner of our race got the very first career Grand Slam.
Just tell us what a Grand Slam is, Mon.
Okay, there are four things. You lead the race from start to finish. Every single lap is led. Fastest lap time, pole position, and the win.
Our boy Oscar Piastri has done it all, and pole position qualifying by what, 12 millionths of a second? It was like absolutely the slightest of slight margins. But the whole weekend, Lando was faster all weekend through the practices, through all the qualies before the final stint that they had in Q3. And Oscar just
pulled it out of the bag.
I know. And it's, oh, this is what I love about watching Oscar race. I feel like he's almost there, and then you're like, oh, come on, come on. And I kind of feel like sometimes our cheering pushes him on a little bit, but no, it's not. He just learns and improves and learns every single lap, every single time he's in the car. And got pole position, which and he survived what, three safety cars, so three restarts. With Lando on his tail and with Max on his tail for the final one.
On soft tyres, mind you. Max was on softs.
When Oscar was on hards, quite right. So it's he deserved that win. And I'm so happy for him. And because of the failure, Mon, what's the game-changing failure that you mentioned?
I don't even know where to start. Oh my god, game-changing failure. Lando Norris on lap 65 of 72 smelt smoke in his cockpit, and catastrophic failure, oil leak, car cut out, and he was out of the race. So that he got 0 points. Zero points that entire race, which is huge in the championship battle. So I just got goosebumps.
I know, which is why I chose the 3 words I chose, because this has really set Oscar up for world championship driver. Like, if he continues with the consistency that he's shown last season and this season, it's his. It's at the moment, it's his to lose. And given that there's 9 races to go. Yes. Okay. Anything can happen in 9 races, but his biggest rival was his teammate, Lando Norris,
yeah,
who's now
34 points.
34 points behind. Oscar's going to need to DNF, which he hasn't done. Well, I don't know when the last time, because he did every lap of every race last year. So
yeah.
Oscar hasn't seen a DNF for a really long time. And mind you, this is his third year in Formula One. Let's just remind everybody of that. His third season in the sport. And last season, he did every lap of every race. And this year is, you know, Mr. Consistency is just delivering the goods.
Do you know what I find really serendipitous, I guess, is we were only in last week's episode, it wasn't a race week, but we were discussing this world championship title, the battle with Greg Rust, who Rusty from Rusty's Garage is the voice on the PA at the Australian GP as well. And we were discussing this title race and we were saying that it is going to be a battle of who has the most down days. And what happened the week after? Lando Norris had a horrific down day through no fault of his own. And
which
look,
is a shame.
And we're biased as all hell in this race, in this fight between the two, because it's an Aussie. Yeah. So we're biased as all hell, but I can't help but feel awful for Lando, because if it was the other way around and this DNF had happened to Oscar, just the pit in your stomach, the sinking feeling, because this was no fault of his own that he didn't get any points, you know, and that's, I think, really, really hard to take. And credit to Norris. He has been so stoic about it. Everything that he's said thus far, it's not heavy with emotion and anger and disappointment. He's been
very valiant in defeat.
Yeah. Even on the radio when it happened, you know, he was very understanding that it was just a crap thing to happen.
And even Oscar acknowledged that as well in his interviews. It really has changed the game for the world driver's title, not the constructor's title. McLaren is still so far ahead that it's hard to see anybody even getting close to them to be a challenger, but in the driver's title.
Well, speaking of the constructor's championship, oh my gosh, poor Ferrari.
Oh my God, this is why I'm wearing black again today, Monique. It's like a double DNF from Ferrari is like total disaster. And the pain of being a Ferrari fan this season is, it's just compounded by the fact that we've got a seven-time world champion behind the wheel and he just is not given the car that he needs to get the results that we want and deserve. It's hard.
Both DNFs from Ferrari were awful. Seven-time world champion on lap 23 went into the wall. It was turn three into the wall. Mistake. On his behalf.
Yeah. Well, he went onto the painted bit of the track, didn't he, of the curb, and it had started raining and that was just way more slipperier than I think he'd expected. And, the back slid out and that was that.
So he was in the wall at lap 23 and then it was lap 53 that we saw Leclerc have to retire. And this one was a hard one to deal with as well.
I know. Kimi Antonelli, our favourite, well, now 19-year-old Italian, made a terrible turn into Charles Leclerc and took him out of the race.
This was the banked turn where he just misjudged where he was going to come out of that battle and just went straight into the back end of Leclerc and spun him into,
And how sad were those scenes watching, seeing Leclerc sitting on the hill all by himself, like on the other side of the track to kind of cross the track or get back to the garage. He just had to sit there, the poor guy. So sad.
They needed to play all by myself in the background and it would have just been perfect. It really looked like a defeat when he was just sat there on the sand dune and they did give him a camping chair at one point as well. That was particularly difficult to watch the two Ferraris in incidents that just
could have been prevented.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Antonelli, bless his cotton socks, he knew that his soft tyres were in the zone and Charles had just come out of the pits on his new softs. So Antonelli, you know, thought he had a traction advantage and was like, I'm going to get this, but just misjudged exactly the trajectory of his car in that turn. And
yeah, his turn wasn't tight enough and just went into the back of Leclerc, like you said, and took him out. But in happier news, as a result of Lando's DNF, pushed Max up into second place.
Which I'm happy for him.
And Isaac Hadjar into third. This young rookie in the Racing Bulls qualified in fourth, held onto fourth all race, and then got promoted to third as a result of Lando's DNF and scored his first podium, which was just, oh, he was so excited. It was so lovely to see.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're always happy to see someone scoring their first podium or their first win, or no matter what team, no matter who it is. But to see Isaac Hadjar in his first year standing up on that podium.
Especially after Melbourne, right? After his start of the season where he spun out before the race even started and was out, you know. And
formation.
Exactly. It was crying and had to be consoled by Anthony Hamilton, Lewis's dad, and then had Helmut Marko come out and just badger him for saying it's weak or, you know, what did he call him? Like pathetic that he's crying or some words to that effect. And and for him to have recovered from that and bounced back and now back from a summer break, first podium, this is great news for him.
I know, right? Way to show Helmut Marko, right? Where in the world was that second Red Bull? And there's Hadjar on the podium. So, you know, a little bit of like stick it to you.
Yuki Tsunoda finished in ninth position at the race. That's where the second Red Bull was. And Liam Lawson in the other Racing Bulls came home in 12th. So, you know, Isaac has really outperformed his teammate in this one.
Absolutely. I have it written down here. So Lawson finished in 12th, but he actually qualified in 8th.
Yes.
For the race. So he lost 4 positions, whereas Tsunoda made up 3 positions from where he qualified. But one of those positions was because Antonelli, oh my gosh, poor Antonelli. So because of his collision with Leclerc, he was handed a 10-second penalty, which would have been not so catastrophic had there not have been the DNF from Lando at the end there, because when the safety car came out, everyone bunched up and that 10 seconds meant he dropped so much further down
the order
than if there hadn't have been that DNF. He would have had like 2 or 3 seconds between him and whoever was behind him, or, you know, so I feel sorry for him in that respect. He tumbled right out of the points. But I would like to hats off to Behrmann and Stroll, who both in this race made up 13 places each. So mega. Behrmann, huge. Behrmann, he started from the pits. So he was 19 and Stroll was 20 on the grid. They were both in the pits. So Behrmann somehow managed to start in the pits and finish 6th. And Stroll started in the pits and finished 7th. The two of them get some well-needed points for their team and for their own championship race. Not that they're in the race, but, you know, it's nice to not be last in the Drivers' Championship, Mike Colapinto.
And have you seen what our favourite Briatore has been saying? He's been a bit scathing of his little golden money bag ATM child, Colapinto, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he has finally said something about the form of Colapinto, and it was to the effect of maybe it was a little bit too early for him to come into Formula One. So he has acknowledged that it hasn't worked out the way that I guess he was hoping for it to. If we look at the whole situation between Doohan and Colapinto and that second Alpine seat, I mean, Alpine's not been doing great this year, like, let's face it. But Gasly has been putting in some mega effort for the team, granted where their car's at. If we look at the whole situation of that second seat, it's a little bit of retribution for Doohan, I think.
For Jack Doohan, yeah.
To have Briatore finally be like, oh, maybe it didn't work out.
So let's see whether he lasts the season under the, you know, Briatore's leadership.
I did also see something about the future of Yuki, and that I find really interesting. I mean, I have a soft spot for Yuki Tsunoda because he deserved that second seat long before he got it. But he's kind of been handed a dud. Like, well, he's been, he's not kind of been handed a dud. He's been handed a dud. Like that second seat is cursed. That car is cursed.
Because Max is a freak that he can get results in that car, and the car's being built around Max. So
exactly.
Anybody else, it just, it has not suited so many second drivers in the Red Bull team.
Exactly. It's like putting on a custom-made wedding dress for, that's custom-made for someone else. Like, it's going to look crap. It's not going to fit properly. You're going to be uncomfortable. You know, it's not going to be a good day for you. But there has been things said about his future, and the race in Mexico was kind of the cutoff point to see how he'd been doing up until then. I mean, I anticipate he'd finish out the season because it would just be ridiculous for them to make another change.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, we're talking about Red Bull here.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, Helmut Marko is still there. I'm interested to see what that means, where that goes. What that means for poor Yuki.
Yeah, have to wait and see. So Mexico is, so next week we've got Monza, Italy, then a break, then Azerbaijan, then a break, then Singapore, then a break, then United States, then Mexico. After Mexico is Brazil, Las Vegas, Qatar, Abu Dhabi. And that's, you know, let's hope he doesn't lose his seat, or let's hope that Red Bull don't make a change with just final four races of the season.
I was reading through some, I guess, some fan comments, and someone had said about this conversation about Colapinto and it being too early, and someone had been like, you know, just another young driver that Formula One has used up and thrown out too quickly. I think they hit the nail on the head by saying that, because these poor drivers that get given this opportunity to get into Formula One and they sit there for 5 races, 10 races, you know, a season, and then they're like, oh, sorry, you didn't give us results. And then they never get the chance again because it looks like they're not good drivers. And
when it's not always them, it's the machinery, it's the team, it's the personnel around them. But on the commentary on KO Sports or Fox Sports, which is a Sky feed, on the weekend, we had Jacques Villeneuve
doing the commentary.
And he's straight down the line, brutally honest. And he was saying that young drivers shouldn't be given a grace period. They should come into Formula One and be prepared. This is Formula One. This is the elite of the elite. This is the pinnacle of motorsport. And, you know, sort of no
mollycoddling.
Mollycoddling. Thank you. But no, in some respects, he does have a point. But you look at what Mercedes is doing with Kimi Antonelli, nurturing him. That word's being really overused with Kimi Antonelli, but that's what they're doing. And yes, he started the season pretty strong. Yes, he scored his first pole position, youngest ever pole position. Yes, he scored his first podium.
First podium.
But I don't know if he's lost some confidence or what's going on with poor Kimi, but let's hope his confidence can build back up before the end of the season.
I mean, this happens a lot as well, right? People. I'm just thinking of, as an example, Erling Haaland. He came out with his first season at Manchester United. Sorry, switching to soccer here. But
yeah,
he
was. What are you talking about?
but he. I can't believe you haven't heard of him. He's the Norwegian. No. He looks like Shrek across Thor.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he was scoring like 5 goals in a game. And everyone was just like, oh my God, what is this guy? He's incredible. But because he started so strong, where do you go from there? So this season, he's still scoring 1, 2, 3 goals a game, incredible goals, but it feels like it's less, and it doesn't feel as good as where he was because, you know, he started so strong. And maybe this is what we're feeling with Antonelli too.
And Colapinto, because last year everyone was like, whoa, where'd this kid come from? He's like the new Senna, the new, you know, they were comparing him to some of the greats. And look, maybe Look, I think there's no doubt that Franco Colapinto is a talented driver. I have no doubt.
Sure. For sure.
About that. He doesn't have the right car to get great results. And he's also doesn't have enough experience to get those great results. He may also be a little hot-headed and a little, like, I feel like Max Verstappen doesn't have the preservation gene. Like, I don't want to die. I feel like Max does not have that. And which is why he's so fearless and aggressive in his driving style. And I feel like Franco Colapinto is a little the same.
I could see that for sure. And like you said, it's not that he's not a talented driver. I mean, I just don't think that he's got the, if for lack of better words, nurturing wing over him that he needs in Alpine. Maybe things could be different if he was under Laurent Mekies or if he was under James Vowles, but he's under Flavio Briatore, who is notoriously blunt. If we look at the rookies, they're having an interesting season. We've got Hadjar, who's smashing it. He's doing so well. Behrmann has come from nowhere and all of a sudden
In a Haas. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And just did so well this weekend. Yeah. And he's shown some promise through the season for sure. Yep. Bortoletto.
Your cousin.
Yes. My cousin, one T, not two. He's been progressing and getting better and better to the point where a lot of the commentators are calling him the rookie of the season. And then who else have we got rookie-wise?
Antonelli, we've just spoken about. Lawson, who we also spoke about this with Rusty. Lawson has...
Last week, yep.
He has very quietly been plugging away in the back there and consistently improving. He's not been that far off Hadjar. He's scored some points this season. So we've seen him build his confidence back up, which is great. It means he's working hard behind the scenes as well. So, you know, he's been doing pretty well. Colapinto, we've spoken about. Yeah, it's been an interesting season for our rookies. You know, a season with so many rookies. I was going to touch on when you were talking about how Max had, he was just a freak and such a great driver. He started to go back to the race, this week's race. He started this race in third position on softs when the two ahead of him, the two McLarens, had started on mediums. And, you know, it, soft versus medium, we all know who's going to win that race. Yeah. It was the second or third corner, actually. Max had quite a scary snap in his steering. He'd challenged Norris and he was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go for Piastri too. He didn't just want the one place. He wanted the two. And so let's give it a go. You're Max Verstappen.
It's Max. Exactly. Yeah.
And so when he was...
And his home
up,
Grand Prix.
Exactly. So there's a bit of Dutch courage. Aha, boom, boom. and uncharacteristic snap of Max. And he managed to save that so well and maintain second position, because if that had been any other driver, they would have been straight off. Maybe, you know, I say any other driver, maybe not Piastri, because, you know, he's just so good.
Oh, he was so good this weekend, Oscar. It's time to start campaigning our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, to start planning for a public holiday when Oscar wins the World Drivers' Championship. I said it at the start of the season and I've been saying it all the way through the season. It's his year and we've waited long enough. We want a public holiday if Oscar wins.
Do you know what I've found interesting, actually, listening to the commentary on F1 TV? You know, we very openly have an Oscar Piastri bias, obviously. F1 TV, it's starting to annoy me with their Lando Norris bias.
Welcome to our world.
It was just really frustrating me that all this conversation after the race had finished and Oscar had won, all this conversation was about all the work that Lando Norris had to do to catch up, not about how well Oscar had done. It was all about what Lando Norris needed to do. And I was like, come on, guys. And I don't know if it would have been the same if it was the other way around. I just want to know that. I will let it fly if it was going to be the same the other way around. And if Norris was in the lead and Piastri had the weekend that that Norris had.
I reckon if it was the other way around, if it was Piastri with the DNF and Lando was all of a sudden 24 points or whatever it would mathematically be for him to be leading the championship, then I reckon the whole narrative would be Lando's in front. This is Lando's championship. Lando can build on his lead by...
Mm-hmm.
That's what I reckon that the narrative would be.
And this is why it annoys me.
And this is why podcasts like us exist, you know, for Australian fans that want to be waving the Aussie flag and on Team Oscar, you know,
mm-hmm.
just...
Oh, I was going to give a dire fun fact. I was going to take your...
Oh, go on. What have you got?
Oscar Piastri has now matched the number of career wins as his mentor, Mark Webber, who is also Australian, which I just think so wonderful.
Yes, and he's done it in three seasons.
Yeah, which is pretty damn exciting. I want to know what Mark Webber has to say.
I can tell you.
And all that. Okay, thank you. Great. Go. Okay. Brilliant.
Because they interviewed Mark Webber on the Sky feed.
Okay.
They asked him about that, about Oscar equaling his number of race wins. And Mark Webber said, oh, he's been giving me heaps about this. They've had a lot of banter back and forth about it. They seem like a really close duo. And obviously Oscar is benefiting greatly from Mark's guidance and mentorship through this. He was just genuinely beaming with happiness for Oscar, which was really lovely to see. Like any good mentor would be, seeing a young protege sort of come up and do well and exceed their own achievements. I thought that was really nice.
That is really nice.
Now, other big news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of feels a bit like old news now, but the other big news is that, you know, we've got two new drivers on the grid next year, or two old drivers returning to the grid next year in a brand new team in Cadillac. So Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez, also known as Checo, have been announced as the drivers for Cadillac. So that's all confirmed. And, you know, that was the biggest...
World's worst secret.
Yeah, the world's worst F1 secret finally being confirmed. Really so great to have VB back on the grid driving, and he's such a great personality and an honorary Australian. So he gets a massive tick of approval from my camp. And as this Checo, I think he's a really talented driver, and he's got the whole of Mexico behind him, which is so good to see.
I've seen so many people being like, that's not the best idea. They've got old drivers.
No, they need the experience. They need drivers that can give feedback about the car, that know how to communicate things back to the race engineers. So that's, it's a really smart choice by Cadillac.
I mean, it's been an exciting first week back. It's been great.
Yeah.
And of all places, to be in the Netherlands too. I have a real affinity for the Netherlands, and I don't know why. I just really like it there.
Yep. I've been to the Netherlands, I don't know, about 7 times, mostly to Amsterdam, but I've also been to Maastricht, and which I really, really liked. It's more of a commercial centre, but it's also got canals and just much less, well, actually not touristy at all.
The last time I was there, I was actually staying out near the museums and art galleries, the museum quarter it's called, and that was a really, really nice place to stay. It was still super busy. But it didn't feel as icky or, and I say icky because I just don't really like the kind of real touristy centres of cities at all. You know, it's stores with cheap magnets and Maccas and, well, McDonald's if you're not from Australia.
Yeah.
And so I don't like those parts of town. But where I was staying the last time I was in Amsterdam was absolutely beautiful. There were great vintage stores, great local designers, lots of great cafes. Didn't go to the coffee stores. Very different things. Be careful.
Or don't be careful. Whatever your choice may be.
Whatever floats your boat. I think it's incredible being in Amsterdam as well and just seeing the volume of bicycles.
Oh,
that just
I've got a fun fact for you. 98% of people that attended the Dutch Grand Prix went by either public transport or bike or walked.
Yeah.
Love it. So there's no parking on site. The only parking available is pretty much for team personnel, catering trucks. drivers, that kind of thing. In Zandvoort there, they put on extra public transport like most cities do for major events, but they also have park and ride hubs. So you could park your car somewhere from a rideable distance to the circuit and rent a bike and ride a bike. And they had just rows and rows and rows of bicycles. As we know, the Dutch love to ride bikes.
I think it was actually Bottas, and trust Bottas to be riding in, but he had posted something about the ride in to the race, which I think it's a wonderful message to be pushing. Also, because we both know how incredibly difficult it is to get to and from a Grand Prix. It's like getting from the Grand Prix is the worst part because everyone leaves at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it can be. So some of the great things to do in Amsterdam, well, a great time of year to go to Amsterdam is the Queen's birthday. So the Queen's birthday is a long weekend, and the Dutch have a tradition of almost like having a mini garage sale in front of their house, having stalls selling things that they don't want anymore. And there's just massive parties on the street. The Dutch fans are, no matter what sporting code you go to anywhere in the world, the Dutch fans are always the ones that party the hardest, are the loudest, and they're all united in orange. And they're so much fun. We loved being around Dutch people when we went to the FIFA World Cup in Brazil. You know, so much fun. Queen's birthday, it's toward the end of April. It's a really fun weekend to go. Also, obviously there's the Heineken Brewery, which you can do a tour of. And mm-hmm. Frank's House is very famous, which you can do a tour of there and see where Anne Frank was hidden during World War II. There's the Van Gogh Museum, Vincent Van Gogh Museum,
and the Heineken Brewery.
Really beautiful.
You can sup on the canal. You can do paddleboarding on the canal. I haven't spent enough time there in recent time to comment on where to go and what to do, because the last time I was there, I had a massive migraine. So I was kind of just walking around in a daze.
In a daze, yeah. Different daze to half of the rest of the population.
Exactly.
Now, the cuisine of the Netherlands. Mon, did you get cooking this weekend?
I didn't. No, unfortunately, I didn't get to cook this weekend. But if I had of, I would have loved to have tried and made stroop waffles, because the smell of stroop waffles on the street when you're walking through Amsterdam is the most delicious thing ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. They're famous for their waffles and their cheese. The Dutch make amazing cheese as well.
Stroop waffles, oh my God. If anyone doesn't know what stroop waffles are, they're basically like really thin, crispy waffles, like what you'd make a waffle cone from. And sandwiched in between is a caramel. And it is absolutely beautiful.
It's almost like biscuity, isn't it, the waffle? It's kind of crisp like a biscuit,
If you fly KLM, not just for an hour or two, a slightly longer flight, they hand out stroop waffles as a snack. Well, it was lovely chatting to you about this week's race day, especially because we had another wonderful race win for our Oscar Piastri. If you guys have been listening and you like what you've listened to or watched on YouTube, you can like, comment, leave a rating, leave a review. We love it all. You can also find us on social media. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and Facebook. Or you can email us at andawaywego f1podcast@gmail.com.
If you're watching on YouTube, hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode, wrapping up the Dutch Grand Prix. Thank you, Mon, and thank you for having us in your ears. Until next week, which is Monza. Until next week, and until lights out.
It's lights out, and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato. Let's do it.